Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us once again on our show, Health and Awareness. You're here with our hosts, myself, Eric Oak, Kelsey Lynn Brown in California, and Henry James Draper out on vacation in Hawaii. And joining us today, again, is our guest, Dr. David Phillipson of Phillipson Chiropractic. Now, before we get into it, Dr. David, thank you for joining us. Last week, or before, we were talking about Omega Spore probiotics, and you had mentioned how they were relating to eczema that you were experiencing. I was wondering if you could briefly go over the probiotics for people that don't know what that is, and then maybe pick up where you left off again?
Sure. So the name of it is Megaspore, M-E-G-A, Megaspore Biotic. And I would encourage people to go to YouTube and pull that up and see Dr. Krishnan Kernan. He is the microbiologist that developed it. And it's really, really exciting. The human biome, which is the gut and the bacteria that should be in there, help keep human beings healthy. That's a really it's a frontier of research right now, and lots and lots of really good information is coming up as to what it actually can do for you, what it's supposed to do for you, and what happens when it's not functioning properly. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of probiotics, they just have a small part of the story. And I think they're loading up with a lot of bacteria that may be good in a certain amount in certain areas of your gut, but certainly it's only a very small part of the story. And one of the things Dr. talked about is that actually by taking too much of one specific or a couple specific lactobacillus, you actually can create problems. So this is one of those things where, you know, it's the a lot of the companies that are selling products really don't have the full picture, and they're operating on some old information. And even so, what he talked about is when they actually analyze some of the bacteria, many are not really careful with the bacteria they put in, and they're actually sometimes are bad bacteria that's creeping in. So it's certainly worth looking at, and looking at Dr. Krishnan Kernan, and just get some of the information. I think you'll find it very, very interesting, and help guide you in a direction that will let you make better choices for your gut. Now, specifically for me, I've had some eczema pretty much my whole life, and nothing worked. And I've tried all kinds of probiotics. I've tried all kinds of things. And really, nothing worked until I started taking the Megaspore Biotic. And it's not that I'm shilling for Megaspore Biotic. I don't get paid a penny for it. I sell it out of my office at a very, very small markup, mostly because I believe in it so strongly from what I've seen, the results, that I want to make it affordable to as many people as possible. But I'm not a representative. I'm not getting paid for it. I just happen to find it's extraordinary. I think I mentioned on one of the previous shows that I found out about it. I was watching Dr. Mercola's channel, and he had a doctor. I forgot the name of the guy. He's a German doctor working in the United States for years. And Dr. Mercola introduced him as one of his mentors and a doctor that works with some of the sickest people there are. And that was his introduction. And so then he came on and started talking about this new probiotic that he has been seeing amazing results with. He was incredibly impressed with the results he was getting with it. And, of course, this particular doctor, what he does is he buys it from Megaspore Biotic, and then he relabels it and sells it. So he didn't give the name Megaspore Biotic. I was listening very, very carefully. I wanted to find out what the heck he was talking about. And he wouldn't say. So I looked him up, and I looked at some of his previous articles, and earlier in in the time when he had first started using Megaspore Biotic, he referred to it by its name, Megaspore Biotic. And then I was able to contact the company and start selling some. So that was my introduction. And since then, I've seen really amazing results with my patients, so much so that now if anyone has any type of problems, health problems at all, I tell them, let's start with this. Because really what the research shows that your biome, the health of your gut and proper bacteria in your gut is really to a great degree starting point for health. And if your biome is healthy, you're off to a really powerful start. Now you can start looking at other things. But on the other hand, if your biome is deranged and dysfunctional, there's no real point going beyond it, because I can promise you that nothing is going to work as well when it's fighting against a deranged biome as when you have a healthy biome.
Okay. Those are very interesting points. Could you please refresh us on what this biome is that you're mentioning?
Okay, so the biome is the term that they're using to refer to the environment in your gut, primarily large intestine, to some extent small intestine, but primarily your large intestine. What they're coming up with now, which I found fascinating, is they say there's actually 11 different zones in the large intestine that is should be home to different types of friendly bacteria, that each have their own territory, that's where they function best. And when that is optimal, I don't even know if they've found optimal yet, but when it's functioning, it dramatically improves the health of a human being. What these are, so it's really interesting. One of the things that Dr. Krishnan Kernan talked about is he said, as far as DNA, humans have less DNA than a fruit fly. That's crazy. I never would have guessed that. But what's really interesting is the way we evolved, we co-evolved with all these friendly bacteria that were designed by nature to take over certain functions within us so we wouldn't have to use our energy sources and resources within the body to do them. So more of our resources could go to higher function like this highly advanced brain and nervous system. So what's interesting is there was one researcher that was researching different long-lived cultures around the world on the average long, healthy lives. And one of the things that just kind of blew my mind, because it just illustrates how powerful a healthy biome is, he said there was this one group of people in the Caribbean. He said that regularly lived over 100 years, that was fairly average, healthy, long lives. And when he examined their food, they basically ate sweet potatoes. And what he found, when you investigate sweet potatoes, there was no essential fatty acids. There was no amino acids. And there weren't many vitamins. Just a fairly simple food. But this is what they subsisted mainly off of and were very, very healthy. Well, what he found was the sweet potatoes basically were feeding a group of bacteria that was pretty much endemic among those people. And those groups of bacteria then provided all the vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids they needed to be healthy. So that just blew my mind, because, I mean, I've always thought of nutrition as far as you got to put the right things in order to be healthy. And now this study of the human biome shows that there's the potential for human beings to live off very, very simple food, and the bacteria in their gut can provide everything they need off that simple food.
That's really cool, Dave. Thanks. I was wondering how long do you suggest your patients use the probiotic for, the Megaspore biotic, because, you know, I've heard from some people that it's not good to take probiotics for too long, because your biome will actually stop creating these bacteria itself and become reliant upon the probiotic. Do you think you could talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, I think there's still a lot of misinformation out there. So if you're basically just using different strains of lactobacillus and using them in very large amounts, I would see where that has validity, because putting a massive amount of one particular strain in, or several strains of lactobacillus that are supposed to only stay in one zone, and you're pushing it down into other zones, can actually create problems. So this is the problem. I think it's still a fairly new science, or there's a lot of really good research that I think a lot of people are not aware of. So they just go to the store and buy something that's got a couple billion strain of five different friendly lactobacillus, and then they just pound that down. Well, it may or may not have a good effect on them. So the problem is, most companies and most people don't have enough information to be making really sensible decisions on this. But what I will tell you from my experience with myself and my patients with this one, because I had asked them, I said, listen, this is supposed to be setting up a colony, so why would you need to continue to take it, right? If a colony's set up, he goes, well, the guy I was talking to, he said, well, the problem with that is there's so many toxins. I mean, GMOs are selectively toxic to the healthy bacteria in your gut. And here, I don't know about the rest of the country, but here in California, they passed laws. You can't even know if there's GMOs in your food. They can bypass the need to say it. So you can be trying to eat really healthy, and you can be eating a fairly decent dose of GMOs every day, which is then damaging the biome, right? Artificial sweeteners, stress, all kinds of things are damaging the biome. So basically what he said is, look, start off with the recommended dose until you see some really good results. And then once you start seeing really good results, you can try to taper down to a dose that keeps you at that fairly good level of health. And I think that's reasonable. So I think for some people, depending on what's going on, how long they've been damaged, what kind of damage is in their body, how much toxins they're eating, how much maybe they have to stay at a capsule a day. Or other people may find one capsule a week or one capsule every 2 weeks is plenty to keep them at optimum health level. So unfortunately, I don't think anyone can give you a solid answer on that. But once again, I will say, just because you're hearing probiotics are beneficial doesn't mean you can just go down and pick up any probiotic and get the same result. So, like I said, I know there's other good probiotics out there. So I would say if you find a probiotic you're getting a good result with, once again, experiment with the dose. You might find you can just go to a low-maintenance dose, or maybe you don't need it. But it's one of those things, until we have more science and research, you have to have a little bit of knowledge and pay attention to the results you're getting, right? And I think one of the things people should go by is, are you feeling better, right? And it's not very scientific, but yet we're designed by nature to know when we're feeling healthy and when we know we're not feeling healthy. So if you're taking something that's supposed to be good for you and you're not feeling good, I would definitely rethink whatever you're taking. I don't care what it is. I mean, for years, everyone's pounding down a multivitamin and not feeling any better, if anything, getting stomach upset and all that. Well, it turns out lots of these vitamin companies were just using cheap synthetic vitamins and inorganic mineral salts that actually were creating harm. Not only not doing any good, it was harming you. So I think you know, just look into the information, but also pay attention. You know, it's like for me, my eczema started clearing up. It took probably about 6 months to completely clear. So I was still taking dose. I wasn't taking a daily dose. I'm now maybe once or twice a week, but it's still doing great. Now, if I see it start to come back, I'll probably up my dose. But you have to. I think it's good advice for everybody to be your own doctor, at least co-doctor, right? Maybe not completely your doctor, but you need to pay attention to what you're doing with your body and how you're feeling. Are your energy levels good? You feel relaxed? You sleep well? You're happy? Is your skin clear? Is your breath clear? Right? You're having regular bowel movements? Just pay attention to that and see how your health is. And if you see something improving that, I'd stick with it. If you see something harming that, I would definitely consider something else. And if you see something have no effect at all, consider that too. You might be just wasting your money on something that's not doing you any good.
Yeah,
you're right.
Sure, Dr. David. Dr. David, we kind of talked a little bit before the show in the host queue, and I brought up that I actually saw on Facebook there was a little video came across, and it was this commercial of the Brady Bunch, and all the kids in the Brady Bunch got their measles, and the whole family was excited to get the measles, and then the next scene was showing the difference between then and, well, actually between then when there was no vaccine and now that there is a vaccine, and it's this Law and Order SVU episode coming out, and it's like, oh, you must get the vaccine. It's like this dire apocalypse state. And then I've seen a whole lot about the vaccines coming up again recently, and there was a lady where she did some tests on the four different vaccines, and then another guy with Moms Across America, the nonprofit, did a test on 14 vaccines, and they all found a glyphosate, the Roundup Ready, in the vaccines, and she did a whole, tried to request a Freedom of Information Act report to the CDC and the FDA. She got 56 papers back. Most of it was all grayed out. She wasn't even able to see what the actual conversations were to make a decision about. They were deciding to no longer test anymore for glyphosate in anything, and vaccines, food, and anything. And she tried to find that out. She was basically blackballed with that. And we have these lines in the sky also around Huntington Beach. I mean, just everywhere in the world, we get reports all the time. And I'm just, can you talk about the connection between these things, the food, the vaccines, what's happening in the air, the water, from your point of view?
Boy, you really want to open up a can of worms, don't you? Yeah, that's
we're going to have to take our probiotics.
So let me just nip around the corners of this subject, because if you really get into it, it will start to shift your view of what you think the world is going on in the world. It will shift it to something 180 degrees out of sync with what many people think the world is. I mean, I've heard many people refer to it taking the red pill, and that's referring to the Matrix, where these people are living in the Matrix, and he offers Neo the red pill or blue pill, and said, if you take the red pill, there's no going back. And the red pill basically disconnected him from the Matrix, and everything that he thought was going on turned out was just a computer-generated reality that had nothing to do with real reality. So these are subjects that are all around the periphery of what we're told is. And when you start to get into it, the deeper you get into it, the more insane it appears, because it for many people, it's 180 degrees out of sync with what they believe is. So that's the difficulty of opening these subjects up. And for many people, the reaction when you start being told that what you think is going on is not at all going on, for many people, it's a very, very strong emotional reaction. And reason goes out the window. So what I'll do is I'll just approach it gently, and I'll tell people this. When ever in the history of the world, when fabulous riches can be made with anything, when does that usually, how often does that usually stay honest? Or does the potential for vast wealth tend to draw corruption into it? So I'd say anytime there's, you know, we used to have a saying, follow the money. I mean, that was always wise reporters and investigators, they'd say, just follow the money. On one hand, if all you do is watch the mainstream media, the official position is the science is settled. It's safe and effective. That's all you'll ever hear. Now, I just want to give you just a little bit of advice. Anytime you hear the phrase, the science is settled, know that it's no longer science. It's now politics. Because science is never settled. The very nature of science is it's always open. That model of reality is open to new information that can change the model. That's science. And if it's true science, then you can look at the new information in a dispassionate way and check it for validity and recheck it. And if it's valid and it's been confirmed by valid sources, then the model of reality is shifted to accommodate the new information. So anytime you hear science is settled, it's no longer science, it's politics. And this is what you will hear, nothing other than the science is settled, it's safe and effective. Okay? But I just want to add this. One of the things that's very, very interesting is, I don't know if it was the 90s or when it happened, the pharmaceutical companies approached Congress and said, you know what, we just can't afford these lawsuits. We can't afford being sued. So unless you protect us, we will stop making vaccinations. So I'm sure it wasn't just talking with, trying to reason with lawmakers. They also make massive donations to many of these people. They fund their campaigns. So for whatever reason, I'm sure some people were well-intentioned and some people were being bought off and whatever other reasons, they passed laws that completely indemnified pharmaceutical companies, lawmakers, and doctors from any possible lawsuit resulting from damage from the vaccinations. Okay? That there's nothing else in our society where someone is completely indemnified. That means no matter what kind of harm is done, no matter what they put in there, you cannot sue them. Now, we have that fact. So they were under political pressure. They were forced to give people seeking some sort of damages, they opened a vaccine court. Now, this vaccine court, you don't have normal rights as in a normal court. As a matter of fact, it's fairly stacked against you to try to prove that your child was damaged by the vaccinations, okay? Even with that uphill climb, the vaccine court has paid out billions with a B. So you tell me, why would they just be giving money away in the billions in a court where they have all the power to people that are just making this up? It seems highly unlikely to me. Furthermore, there's been many scientists and physicians, doctors, that have come out and said, listen, we've investigated this subject, we've done research, we've looked into the past research, and you know what? They're not safe and effective, and we need to open a forum up in order to begin to investigate this and make them safer and more effective. Well, one of the first guys that came out with that finding, gosh, his name escapes me right now. He was in that movie Vaxxed. He was an English researcher. He was actually one of the most respected researchers in England. Very well respected, high integrity, very, very good. He had high standing. So the families with vaccine damaged children go, you know what? We think the vaccination had something to do with this. Can we fund a small retrospective study by you to see if there's any truth to that. Andrew Wakefield, there it is, Andrew Wakefield. So he said, sure, he looked into it. So he started looking into the research that had already been done. And he came out with the finding, the inescapable finding, that there was a direct correlation between, I believe it was the MMR vaccination and higher rates of autism, significantly, statistically significant rates of autism. And as a matter of fact, that they found lesions in the gut filled with live rubella virus, that these kids had all this gut pain and inflammation, and sure enough, they found red, swollen patches of mucosa throughout their gut that had live rubella viruses in them. Well, the pharmaceutical companies came out with their experts, and they said he had falsified things. They said it was fraud. They threatened everybody on the paper. They all retracted except him. They all go, okay, it was fraud. They all, because they threatened them with complete professional destruction. He's the only one that refused to refute what he found, because he was a truly good and honest man. And they did their best to destroy him. And it's really funny with the mainstream media that I consider completely owned by the pharmaceutical companies. You will never hear his name without the word in front of it, the discredited Andrew Wakefield. Well, so it turns out, let's follow up on the study. There was a whole bunch of studies after his that have confirmed his findings. And he went to the British court and he sued and overturned what they tried to accuse him of. So he's been absolutely been vindicated, but you'll never see that in the mainstream media. Another thing that people might find shocking is it was, CDC, I believe, did a study on the MMR, and there was like five scientists doing the CDC studies, and they came out and said there's absolutely no connection with autism and the MMR vaccine. Well, about 5 years later, the main researcher and the head of that research project came out and said, I can't live with myself any longer. We falsified the information. We absolutely found a correlation, and especially in black male children. So he came out, and this was before Congress. He came before Congress as a whistleblower. Never made it to the news media at all. Well, a few years later, after intense pressure on him, he recanted that and said, no, it's not true. So you tell me, on one hand, you have these scientists and doctors that are risking their careers by coming out and saying they're not safe and effective, that they need to be looked into. They have absolutely nothing to gain. Nothing to gain but possibly lose their license, be vilified in the press. Zero to gain coming out and saying, look, there's real fraud going on. These are damaging children. And then on the other hand, let's get back to following the money, pharmaceutical companies that are making billions off of these vaccinations. So if we just use the old adage, follow the money, I would say it should make you a little suspicious, right? So this is what I tell people with vaccinations. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your kids. This is a really hard choice. Okay, it's not simple, because there is possible harm either way. Okay, so this is not an easy decision, but this is what I will tell parents or people that are considering this. Try to get at least both sides of the argument. Try to get it from as reputable sources as possible. Okay, and the only way to get that, you have to go alternative news sites. You got to find some of these groups that are dealing with vaccine damage and their advocates, and look at their research, look what they have to say, and look at the information they're presenting, and then decide for yourself. I mean, when I was a kid, we had like five vaccinations. right? And the autism rate was like 1 in 300,000. I'm not exactly sure of that statistic, but it was extraordinarily low. Now it's like the acknowledged statistic is like 1 in 56, and they're projecting like 1 in 26 in a very short period of time, right? So if you do decide to vaccinate your kid, don't just, well, you can if you want, just do whatever they say, or you can look into it. It's like what you were saying. Most of the time when we were kids, chicken pox, measles, rubella, most children, if their immune system is functioning well, which means they're getting exercise, sunlight, fresh water, good nutrition, they handle these diseases very well. It's a mild case, okay? So you might look into those that are more dangerous and decide if you want to give those to your children. And then also consider Japan also was having rising rates of autism, and they had their scientists looked into it. And their scientists said, you know what, if we just push the vaccination schedule back to when the child is older, I think it will they'll handle it better. And sure enough, their autism rates started dropping when they started to space it out and push it back as the children are older. So you don't have to necessarily buy what anybody's telling you, but look into it for yourself. Because I'll tell you, if you want to see some heartbreak, see the parents who brought their children in for vaccination. The children had a bad reaction. The physicians assured them it had nothing to do with the vaccination. So they came back for the second and third vaccination at that point, and the child became damaged, and that was it. That was the end of that happy, healthy, normal child, and now they have a permanently damaged autistic child. That's heartbreaking when you know you allowed it to happen because you just trusted people that you should have been able to trust.
Yeah, you know, you're so right, and you bring up a lot of interesting points. One thing I just wanted to add is when we look at the indigenous peoples that are still somewhat around today in certain parts of the world, or the Native Americans that were here, they didn't have vaccinations and they did fine, but then diseases were brought over and situations happened from that. But when they were living with the natural environment, they were okay. So simply people can learn to make sense of things. And like you said about the holistic doctors and individuals and speakers coming out talking about this, and their careers are getting ruined, or just medical doctors, whatever their position is in society. And there's Erin at Health Nut News. I used to follow her a little bit, and she goes and she does these talks around the United States, and she talks about what is happening to these holistic scientists and doctors, and they're actually disappearing. So there's really something going on. People can decide to look behind the scenes or not, but I wanted to ask you, because you're very aware of what's going on and you're paying attention, so do you have chiropractic friends or other people in the medical field that you discuss these things with? How is it locally? Are there people aware of it, the physicians that you know, like you are? Or how does that look with your experience?
I don't really network with too many local physicians. Most of my information just comes from personal research, alternative news sites. There's Kennedy Jr., which he's the son of Robert Kennedy, which you guys are too young to remember, but he was the son of brother of John F. Kennedy, and he was murdered as well as John F. Kennedy. So his son, he's a Democrat, he was highly respected. He says, listen, I didn't want to get into this fight, but he got pulled in by some parents that are coming in and saying, look, this is what's happened to my kids. And as he started to look into it, he started to realize something very fishy is going on. So they don't want to vilify him too much because he's one of the princes of the Democratic Party. But if you go look up Robert Kennedy Jr. and his world, I forgot the name of his thing, but it's basically to bring information about the incredible dangers of putting mercury in these vaccinations. And he, as he started to look into it, he started finding there's a lot of fraud going on, a lot of really, really fishy things going on. And he's doing his best to try to he comes on and says, look, I'm not anti-vaccination, but for God's sake, can't we open a panel and begin to discuss this? Isn't it possible to try to make safer vaccines? I mean, this, what could be a more reasonable position than say, I'm not against vaccinations, but I'm saying that there's a lot of practices going on that appear to be very, very detrimental, and research is bearing it out. I mean, how much mercury can you inject into a baby safely? I mean, that's how much aluminum, which is this, mercury is one of the most neurotoxic compounds in nature. And at least if you eat it, you've got some protection from the gut through it out, but you inject it past the skin, there's no protection. And it crosses the blood-brain barrier and accumulates in the brain, as well as aluminum. Aluminum is the second most neurotoxic. What amount of mercury do you think is safe to give your baby? Or aluminum? I mean, it's an insane question. My God, you break one of these fluorescent bulbs and you practically got to call a toxic cleanup unit to safely dispose of it. But yet they're saying that it's okay to inject mercury and aluminum, which accumulates in the brain, and you're going to give injection after injection? I mean, this is insanity. Why is it they can't make vaccinations that are safer and more effective? One of the things that I'll tell you, that one of the fraud going on in vaccine quote-unquote research is you have to always test a new substance against placebo. Placebo is supposed to be inert. For example, saline solution that absolutely has no harmful effect. Well, one of the frauds they've been carrying out for years is they test a new vaccination many times against either an old vaccination, established vaccination, or they test it with like a mercury solution. So then they can say that this is no more damaging than placebo, utter fraud. That's utter fraud, because the placebo they're using is not a true placebo, and it creates damage. So it's fraudulent research by testing it out something that's not a true placebo. So when you start to look into this, it's like opening a garbage can that's been sitting in the sun for a couple weeks. Man, it stinks when you pull the lid off of this stuff. But the like I said, you will never see this on mainstream media. You tell me why. Okay, so they're making billions off of the advertising for the pharmaceutical companies. That's part of it. Does it go deeper than that? Well, I'll let you guys look into that for yourself and decide. Okay, because like I said, this is kind of the red pill. You swallow that red pill, there's no real turning back.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, you're right.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Henry. I'll let you go.
Yeah, one thing I've found in my research is that these heavy metals like mercury and aluminum, they bind to the white blood cells. And so when somebody gets an illness, you know, infection, the white blood cells are sent to the brain by the body. And when they have these heavy metals attached to them because they can't get rid of them from the white blood cells, it can trigger all sorts of illnesses that haven't really been, and that used to be very, very, very rare. You know, kids getting like, I can't remember the names of them, but I saw photos of their faces of like changed drastically, you know, after the illness, which is like very uncommon. So, yeah, there's a whole lot for people to investigate out there. I really appreciate you sharing what you have.
Well, listen, you know, this is more than just a tragedy to the families. On a socioeconomic basis, what I've heard predicted is that in another 30 years, it'll be every other child. And we're not talking about the flu. We're not talking about a cough. We're talking about lifelong disability. These autistic children have to be cared for the rest of their life, even as adults. So you tell me, what's going to happen to a society when every other person needs to be cared for by the state? How can you survive economically? I mean, this should be on the forefront of every government's agenda in the world, because you're looking at a total collapse of civilization, let alone the tragedy of each individual child being damaged. If this continues at this rate of growth, how can society survive? It won't survive. So you're looking at not only personal tragedy on individual family level, but you're looking at potential of national collapse. Why is this not, why, what, you know, what's wrong with a scientific debate? What's wrong with the most well-researched and respected professionals on both sides of the issue? What's wrong with them coming together and presenting their and having some sort of commission take a look, weigh it, and come out with a finding? What's the problem? Why? That's science. Why is this no longer in the realm of science? Why is this in the realm of politics when we're looking at something that could be as bad as an all-out nuclear attack? I mean, these are questions. This is what I'm saying. You know, you start taking the red pill, and you start seeing where things are not adding up, and it can shift your view of what you thought was reality 180 degrees. And I promise you, that's never pleasant. It's never pleasant. There's a scene from The Matrix where the one guy who had been pulled out of The Matrix, and he betrayed all of his friends on the ship in order to be put back into The Matrix. Because he said, you know, I could be eating a steak and drinking a beer instead of I'm eating this gruel, this oatmeal is what they subsisted on. So, I mean, this is the problem with taking the red pill. If you start looking into this stuff, be ready for a very rough ride, because it may completely change your view of what's actually going on in the world. And like I said, that's never fun. Never fun, it's never pleasant. But you have to make the choice. Would you rather live in a pleasant illusion, or would you rather take your chances on a very rough reality, but where you have a chance to make it better?
That's great. I love the way that you just presented that option for people. And we are aware of what's taking place on the planet, and we watch like Alex Jones and these different individuals, and there's a news station called Stranger Than Fiction News, and they were just showing the different directed energy weapons that are going across the world. I mean, we could really get into it here. You're right, the red pill, who's ready, and you don't have to take a pill. It's just you decide if you want to see or not what's taking place. Now, do you have any other like websites or news channels or alternative media that you would suggest for people to look at? Because the 6 o'clock news is what we call it here. It's not going to be telling you anything except for, heck, I don't know what the geoengineered weather is of the day. You know, that they're planning somewhere in Alaska and off of Baja with their HAARP installations. But what is there any other media that you would suggest? Because you're the authority here. They're going to listen to you because you're really knowledgeable, you're experienced and everything. So could you tell our audience possibly where they could look for some answers?
All right. Well, I think I've always been a fan of Alex Jones. Alex gets a little carried away. He gets pretty worked up sometimes, but overall he tries his best to bring out real information. Alex is one of the few guys that have the courage to talk about the big global picture. Most people don't want to touch that. I think the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, is excellent. And those guys are usually fairly good portals into other valid information. But here's what you got to be careful when you get onto the alternative news. There's as much bad information as there is good information, I think, and this is why many people give up, because you start getting so much conflicting information, you don't know where to turn, right? So I think like I said, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, really good. He does a really good job. He's a really sincere guy. I truly believe he's a patriot. He's trying to look out for the American people, as I believe Alex Jones is. And as of this date and recording, he's been completely banned off of off of like 20 different media outlets. They're doing their best to completely shut him down. And I've been watching him for a long time, and the things that they're saying about him on the major media is complete fabrications. So, you know, Bruce Lee had a saying, they only tackle the guy carrying the ball. So the reason they're going after Alex so hard is because he really does have a lot of really good information on what's going on. So for those of you that have heard all kinds of terrible things about Alex and just think he's just an awful person, I say, you know what, just tune in for a week. Just turn in for a week and see if what they're saying about him is correct. I promise you it's not. And then the question is, why are they working so hard to shut him down? And the answer is because he's coming across with information they don't want people to have. So that's a good start. Like I said, JFK Jr., if you Google, and I would really start even moving away from Google. Google is really playing with the facts and the algorithms. So believe it or not, Bing.com, which is the Microsoft search engine, is actually still fairly good and objective. So I would start moving away from Google and start to use Bing to look some of this stuff up, Bing.com, and start looking into it yourself. So, you know, Google, Bing, JFK Jr. and his World Mercury Alliance or whatever the heck it is, and take a look at that. That's a really, really fine and reputable site to begin to dip into some of this alternative information. And like I said, you know, if you have a child, you got to make this decision. There's no easy decision. It's going to be tough no matter what. I tell parents, I said, listen, you want to lose sleep? Go ahead and look this stuff up. You're going to feel like you're taking a risk if you do, taking a risk if you don't. But like I said, you don't have to go all the way with any of it. You might say, okay, so I've looked into some of the diseases. These are the most dangerous. I want to vaccinate my child selectively for that. Then try to make sure you can find one without preservatives, doesn't have aluminum or mercury in it. So, I mean, there absolutely is a possibility to make safer and more effective vaccinations. But they have no motivation to do it. So it's tough, 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 tough. But I'll tell you what, you start looking into that one, and if you've been living in what you consider the normal world, if you start looking into the whole vaccine thing, that's a red pill all its own. Because the question you've got to ask yourself is, why is this happening? Is it just greed? Because they certainly could sell as much vaccinations without the toxicity. Sure, it would be a little more difficult because they won't last as long. You got to use them quicker. You're not going to be using these poisonous preservatives. But it can be done. You can charge a little more for it. So when you start looking into this stuff and the questions start to hit you, why is this going on? That's when you start going down the rabbit hole. And like I said, it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant journey at all.
No, you're right. It's definitely a choice people make or they don't. And yeah, we've looked at these things. They've got the Georgia Guidestones, Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 30. They have with Bill Gates, Initiative 2045. I just found about that out last week, that's the whole thing. People just go check it out on Bing, like Dr. David just said here. And for people that are listening or moms that are listening and are aware of these things and don't know where to turn, we do have groups. We have Skype groups with our nonprofit, which is worldwide. And Mary Duffy, you may have heard her on our show before. She's with that, has a couple young children over in New Jersey. Eric Oak helps her out, and we call it the New School Homeschool. So even if you're not homeschooling your children, but possibly you want to move into that, well, you can talk with Mary on Skype and other mothers that are aware of what is taking place worldwide. And we have awesome projects that we are planning and want to do, but it does take agreement. And when people start to wake up and see what's going on, like Dr. David is telling everyone about here and what we're sharing on our show, then we can agree to something that is wonderful and does make sense instead of all this distortion and just purposely planned deception and everything that is being marketed, and it's actually a ploy and not beneficial for us. And I know Henry wants to ask another question. before we end the show tonight. And I just want to thank you again, Dr. David, for being so passionate. And it's really going to assist a lot of people that get to hear this.
Well, that means a lot. That means a lot.
I think it was Eric that had the question, Kelsey.
Okay, so Dr. David, we're going to take it back just a little bit. In one of our previous shows, you had mentioned something called K2. Now, I was wondering if you could possibly go over that one more time for us, please, and if that's related to probiotic and, like, gut health, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, so K2, it's vitamin K2. There's also K1. K1, a lot of people are familiar with as a clotting, helping clotting factor for the blood. K2 has a whole different physiological effect. One of the things that it's well known for is when you're getting adequate vitamin D3, whether it's through the sunshine or supplementation, you're able to absorb more calcium out of your food. But then what that does is just puts it into the bloodstream. It's K2 that then moves it into the bones and the teeth. There was Dr. Weston Price. He was a dentist that did research all over the world on native populations that he found had beautiful teeth, straight, white, never crooked, no cavities. And he found that big thing was these native populations had traditional preconception diets that they would put the couple on, that they would help have healthy, beautiful babies with beautiful straight teeth and no cavities. And he found this was back, gosh, I don't know, 50s or something like that, or 40s, and he came up with some really, really good, great information. But one of the things is he called it Factor X. Factor X, it was really critical that when these diets had this Factor X in it, that these people grew up with just beautiful straight teeth and strong bones and good stature. And it was later on that we found out it was actually K2. So K2 is really critical. Now, one of the things that K2 also does is it also helps restore and help mitochondria to function better. So K2 is very, very important, and especially with D3. So a lot of times the MDs, and if it's D deficiency is absolutely epidemic, because they've been telling people to stay out of the sun, and if you go in the sun, wear sunscreen. Well, that absolutely cuts down any of your vitamin D production. So they're starting to do blood tests on people, they're finding everybody is D deficient, right? So, but they're very careful about not giving too high of a dose. 5,000 IUs a day make them nervous, and that's because most people are K2 deficient. It used to be when animals were raised in sunshine eating their natural foods like chicken, bugs, and seeds, and cows pasture raised out in the sunshine, then the animal meat, the flesh itself was rich in K2. So butter, a classic example of K2-rich butter is the Irish Kerrygold butter. And they call it Kerrygold because it's just a dark golden color. If you compare it to most of the butter here in the United States, most of the butter here is a pale yellow, because when they raise these animals indoors on the wrong feed, the milk and therefore the butter is very, very K2 deficient. Same with eggs. Eggs should be rich in K2, but most of the eggs that are raised inside these massive warehouses with these chickens all crammed into cages, those egg yellows are very, very pale yellow. Whereas if you get a free-range chicken egg, you'll see that it's a dark golden color. So that's K2. In animal meat, it used to be that the fat would be yellow, and now it's white because of the way they raise it. So as we've raised our foods K2 deficient, we've become K2 deficient. So what will happen is if you're getting a fairly significant dose of vitamin D3, there's the chance of that calcium building up in the blood. Therefore, it starts to gout in the arteries, which is dangerous. and also in the soft tissue. You start getting calcium deposits in the soft tissue and stiffening of the tissues and all the problems that go with that. So it turns out it's not an overdose of T3, it's actually a K2 deficiency. So when you're getting good amounts of K2, and what they talk about is some of the optimum effects of K2 happens at about 330 micrograms per day. Okay, when you start having that, then it's almost virtually impossible to have overabundance of B3. It balances it and prevents any of those negative side effects. So when I have patients that I know are B3 deficient, I recommend 10,000 IUs for about a month, then drop it down to 5,000, depending on how big they are, right? But I say absolutely must take it with the K2. And you take those two together, you see some really, really, really good results on your health. And I encourage everybody to go ahead and Bing K2 and health, and take a look at it for yourself. And you'll see it's a very, very exciting, cutting-edge nutritional information.
Thanks again. That's really cool. I was also wondering, you mentioned natto beans one of our earlier shows as a K2, a food high in K2. Have you ever made it yourself, or do you think you could talk about possibly, you know, how to look out for, you know, obviously you don't want non-GMO soybeans, and you know, maybe you could talk about why it's okay to have soybeans and how these soybeans are so high in K2, because all the other K2 foods seem to be animal products. And also, because they're fermented soybeans, does that mean they're probiotic as well?
Okay, so that's a good question. Let's see if we have enough time. I'll try to go through it fairly fast. So it's actually natto, N-A-T-T-O. It's fermented Japanese soybeans. And what's interesting is the bacteria they use to ferment it is Bacillus subtilis, which turns out is one of the bacteria in the Megaspore biotic. It's been used by the Japanese for hundreds of years. And what makes it different is that bacteria gets into those soybeans, and it breaks down a lot of the damaging enzymes and compounds in the soybeans that make them hard on your thyroid. In general, I don't recommend soy because of the products that can shut down your thyroid function, and soy's not that good for you, the phytoenzymes. But the Bacillus subtilis breaks down most of that, so it's actually a very, very healthy food. And yes, I actually did make a batch myself just for the fun of it, and it actually came out really good. I was proud of myself, but I invested in a thermostat and all kinds of stuff, a pressure cooker to cook the beans quickly, and it was fun. I don't know if it's worth it. On the other hand, if you have a Japanese grocery store nearby, you can usually find it in the freezer section, but not everybody has a Japanese grocery store nearby, so you might end up having to make your own natto, which is, it's not that hard, but really it's the MK7 form of K2, which is really one of the most biologically active. So that's actually one of the better sources of K2 is the natto that's been fermented by the Bacillus subtilis.
How wonderful. Awesome. Thank you, Dr. David. That sounds like a very fun project that we could definitely get into, definitely work into some of our other projects. Do our hosts have any other questions for Dr. David, or we can go ahead and wrap the show up?
Sure. I've got one question from Houston, Texas. We have this little chat going on Facebook, and so she was asking about the sun and getting sunburn on the face, and she's asking, do you keep going out in the sun, or do you make some kind of natural sunscreen? Do you keep building yourself up, or what do you do? She's talking about wrinkles. She's just sending in a bunch of fun chats here from Houston, Texas. But she said she's 30 years old with a couple kids. So can you answer that question, Dr. David?
Yeah, I don't know how much time we have, but really, what determines when, how long to be out in the sun is the ultraviolet strength. And on online, you can find out what the UV strength is in your local area. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the cutoff point, what's safe or not, but you should be able to bing what's safe UV. When the UV is too strong, what it does is it fries the little capillaries in your skin and just kind of fuses them shut, and therefore your skin is not getting oxygen and nutrition and will start to age prematurely. So really, I don't like to use sunscreen, so what do? Well, I try to stay out of the very strong sun. So if you've got to go out in the very strong sun, cover up. Okay, if you can find a natural sunscreen that's not damaging, great. You know, I'm sure there's somebody made it, some out there. But otherwise, I try to stay out of the damaging sun rays. So in the summer, that's, depending on how close to the equator you are, that's anywhere from 10 to like 3, the damaging rays. And of course, in the winter, the sun is much, much weaker. So many times being out in the midday sun is fine. So you got to look into the UV strength, ultraviolet strength. And like I said, many times on online you can find out what the UV strength is in your town at that time, and look into what's a safe dose. But I think just plain exposure to the sun without sunscreen is the healthiest, but avoid the very, very strong UV because it is damaging. It will age and damage your skin. So sun is good, but not the strongest, which certainly in the summertime is usually the strongest, and you have to be careful then.
Thanks for answering that for a caller.
Yes, thank you, Dr. David, for joining us once again on our show. It's always wonderful to have you here, and you're very knowledgeable, and it's awesome that you're willing to share all of this wonderful information with us and with our listeners as well. Thank you for everyone who's listened in and joined us today to listen to Dr. David. You can find out more about him and his practice, Phillipson Chiropractic, out in California. We can drop the links in the description here for anybody that's wondering. You can get an alignment from Dr. David and start your adventure to better health and wellness. Thank you for joining us on our show, Health and Awareness. Thanks to our hosts, Henry and Kelsey, once again. We're always working on amazing projects to share real knowledge with everyone in the world. And you can tune in on Mondays for one of our other shows, Pioneer Tales. And you can find a lot of the videos and a lot of fun videos and information that we share on YouTube. Just search Kelsey Lynn Brown. And you can find us on Facebook. We're all over. We're worldwide. And thank you once again. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Dr. David. Good night.
Thanks, guys.